I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure. Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program that continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.
Matthews. Is anybody ready to praise him this morning? He's worthy of all the praise, glory, and honor. Amen. Amen. God is worthy. God is worthy. Let's pray. Father God, we come into this place saying thank you. You are Yeshua. You are Yahweh. And we worship you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the knowledge of just for who you are, Lord. We thank you for knowing Jesus because he makes the difference in all of our lives, Lord. We thank you because we are all on a journey that we must walk alone, but Lord, we need you to lead us and guide us along this journey, Lord. Guide our footsteps, Lord. Carry us when we're weak, Lord. Strengthen us when we're weak, Lord. Help us to be strong, Lord. Help us to bear fruit so that we may share with others, Lord, and plant the seed of salvation in those who don't know Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the struggles, Lord, because although they don't feel good, Lord, they are here for our good, for good, Lord. And we worship you and we praise you in advance for the things that you are doing, Lord, the things that you are going to do because you called it. Before you created the universe, Lord, you set a pathway for us, Lord, and we just ask that you help us to focus on your will, Lord. Yield ourselves into your will, Lord. We ask you to continue to strengthen our pastor, Lord, in his absence, Lord. We love him, Lord. We know that you have called the victory, Lord. The victory is yours, Lord, and we will celebrate in advance with you, Lord. Touch each and every family that's represented here this morning, Lord. Encourage us, Lord, and we will be so ever careful to give you all the praise, all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody give him the praise this morning. If you really love him, if you can just think about one or two things that he's done for you, how good he's been, how he's carried you through, amen? It was by his grace and mercy it brought us through, amen? Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, put your hands together and give God some praise. How many know that was by your grace and mercy brought me through? Song said I'm living this moment because of you. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about today.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you, and I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Come on, y'all, sing it. Your grace.
Your grace and mercy.
Said it brought me.
Your grace and mercy
brought me.
Brought
commitment that I should die. But grace and mercy said, oh no, oh no, oh no, you've already paid the price. I was blind, yeah, but thank God I see. Woo. Because grace and mercy came along. I want to thank you, Lord.
And praise you, too.
For your grace, your grace,
your grace. Your grace and mercy.
Say it again. Your grace, your grace, your grace.
Your grace and mercy.
Somebody say your grace, your grace, your grace.
Your grace and mercy.
Say it again. Your grace. Jesus, your grace.
Your grace and mercy.
Say it again. Your grace. Your grace. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How many of you know he's able to do far exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think? He's able.
give up? Well, I'm telling you right now, don't give up on God.
Service. Now we'll have scripture reading by Reverend Hill.
The scripture shall be found in Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning at verse 16. Matthew, 28th chapter. Beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. We shall have scripture by Reverend Williams.
Morning. We'll still be in the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, starting at the 18th verse. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. We will now have prayer by Reverend Tunsil.
Let's pray. Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, and exalt you for a brand new day. Thank you, Lord God, for new mercies. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, in our lives. Father, as we approach your throne of grace this morning, we confess our sins, thought, word, motive, deed, and attitude. Pray, Lord, that you would forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord God, that you saved us, sanctified us, and sealed us until the day of redemption. And Father, as we come once again collectively to glorify you, praise you, and to magnify you, Lord, we ask that you help us to cast away our cares, concerns about all week long, and Lord, to concentrate on you this morning, to give you glory, to give you honor. We come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, remind you, Lord, your word says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their evil ways, then you would hear from heaven, forgive us of our sins, and cleanse us from all righteousness. Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would bless our pastor. We lift him up, Lord God. Pray that you would bless him, heal him. Oh, God, we pray that you would give him strength in the name of Jesus. We lift up First Lady, Sister Gordon, praying that you would bless him and his family. Oh, God, continue to be with them, guide them, and keep them. And Lord, we ask that you would draw a sinner that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, that they would cry out, I yield, what must I do to be saved? Now, Lord, we turn our service over to you, have your way, moved by your spirit, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too.
You are too running down.
My God will see you through. Oh, yes. He picked me up and turned me around. Placed my feet on solid ground. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. I looked at my hands and they were new. Looked at my feet and they were too. Y'all, and he loves me. Let me tell you what he done for me. He loosed my shackle, y'all. He loosed my shackle, and he set me free. And tell that you up to run. And tell that, can I get one witness? I wish I had a witness. You ought to run and tell that. Let's talk about a man from Galilee. He healed the sick, y'all, and he loves me. Let me tell you what he done for me. He loosed my shackle, y'all. Oh, he loosed my shackle. From Galilee, he healed the sick, and he loves me. Let me tell you what he done for me. He loosed my shackle, y'all. He loosed my shackle. He loosed my shackle.
time, and we're going to hear from my own sister, Alina Ziegler.
Giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our senior pastor, Dr. Raymond M. Gordon Sr., the ministers, and all of you. Today, I am here to share a brief message with you from our pastor, and it's on the theme of final orders from headquarters, Galilee. Our awesome ministers will also expound on this more later, praise God, but this is Pastor's brief message for you. At the birth of Christ, Mary and Joseph took a detour to Bethlehem of Ephrata, where Jesus was born in a stable. The shepherds saw the multitude of angels singing. The wise men gave three gifts symbolizing Christ's future. The gold represented Jesus' deity and kingship. Frankincense is a perfume indicating perfection because Jesus is both 100% perfect man and 100% perfect God. And myrrh, which is a burial ointment symbolizing his eventual death and burial. Most of Jesus' ministry took place in Galilee, and that is where he performed most of his miracles. Now the final orders from headquarters came when Jesus was resurrected and walked the earth 40 days in Acts 1, and he is now meeting over 500 of his disciples again in Galilee. In Matthew 28:19-20, his final orders and instructions are told using participles, which are words ending in ing, and they denote a continuous commitment and comprehension. Jesus uses these participles: as you are going, which is a continuous commitment of outreach; as you are teaching, a continuous commitment of obedience; as you are baptizing, a continuous commitment of obligation; as you are observing, a continuous commitment of orders. Matthew 28:20 ends with Jesus saying, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." A healthy church follows the orders from headquarters. That's right. St. Matthew's is a healthy church and has been for 38 years. That's praise right. God. Praise Jesus for our beloved pastor and his message today. And now I have a wonderful surprise for you. Welcome our pastor. Praise God. Bless the Lord Jesus Christ. God is so good. Bless the name of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing our pastor back.
Preaching, man. This morning in the precious miraculous, exalted. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's truly worthy to be praised. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the potentate of paradise. I love you all. I'm doing very well. I appreciate you. And I wanted to be here this morning. Matthew 28:19-20 has purpose, process, and product. I want to thank all these great. First of all, I want to thank Reverend Jackson, and I want to thank Leroy. I want to thank all these great speakers. You guys have done a great, great, great job. Now I'm going to take my hat off. I just want you to see.
Keep it in line.
I just want you to see my outfit. Praise the name of Jesus. The Lord is mighty, mighty, mighty good. I just got back from the Bahamas, and we had a ball. Me and my kids, we had a great, great time. Great vacation, and I was practically jogging. So the Lord is good. Let me say this to you. There's no other scripture that I can think of than that of Colossians. Where it says, Lord have mercy. For all things were made by him, and all things were made for him. Things that are in heaven, things that are on earth, and things that are under the earth. And by him, he is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Yeah. Yeah. He's the fullness. He's the representative of heaven. Yeah. And listen to this. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit gave him presidents so he could rule. And he is the representative that everything is in the name of Jesus. He's the heir of all things. Can I get a witness? The Lord is good. Isn't the Lord good? In the Lord good? In the Lord good? And listen, Matthew 28:19-20. Yeah. Signifies. Yeah. God's purposes. His purposes. That is everything. Has to do with Galilee. And we dealt with this. Miss Alina dealt with it. She's done a great job. Let's give her a hand clap. Everything to do with Galilee. Galilee, Galilee, Galilee. The wedding at Cana was Galilee. Can I get a witness? Yeah, where he saved the best for last. Can I get a witness? And listen, and then not only that, but he walked on the water at 4 o'clock in the morning. He defied the powers of aquadynamic. And Peter said, bid me to come, and he said, come. And Peter started drowning when he took his eyes off Jesus. Do I have a witness? But that was on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus told the storm, first I'm going to tell you what I want. I want peace. And then he said, here's the command, be still. Do I have a witness? But in 28, 19, and 20, Lord have mercy, Jesus told 500 witnesses to meet him in Galilee. Can I get a witness? And it was in the Great Commission in Galilee that he said, all power. Not some power, but all power is in my hands. And Alina said it, a participle is a word that has commitment, continuous. Come on now. He says, as you are going, meaning the church ought to be going. Do I have a witness? As you are going, as you are, teaching. It's a continuous instruction. As you are going, as you are teaching, as you are baptizing. Lord, have mercy. As you are observing all things. Jesus laid out what he wanted for the church. And he said, lo, I'm with you, even to the end of the age. Can I get a witness? Jesus is Lord. He's Jehovah God. And I want to say this to you. We're going to be fine. God is going to give us the victory. Can I get a witness? And God is going to move mightily and bring America to victory. You need not worry because his word is true. In his word, true? Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious of the workers of iniquity. They will soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. We have the victory. We have the victory because he said we had the victory. We have the victory because no weapon. We have the victory because he's heir. We have the victory because he's Lord. He's God. He's King. He's potentate. Say yeah. Say yeah. Thank you for the cards, the gifts. Thank you for the monetary gifts. Thank you for all that you have done. The Lord loves you and I do too. The Lord loves you and I do too. The Lord loves you and I do too. Amen. I have no cane. Hey, listen. Can any good thing come out of South Philly. Can I get a witness? This is...
to see you Pastor loves you and prays for you, and he's still orchestrating everything. He is driving Alina crazy, and Reverend Jackson and all the ministers, and here's what I want you to say, and here's, oh, he is orchestrating. You know, Pastor, you didn't just meet him. And so we're just so grateful, so grateful. And even as Pastor has been talking to us and moving us from place to place, and all of us have a different place, I want you, you know, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit certainly did not have to call an emergency staff meeting when God moved Pastor Gordon and I to the place that we're in. No, because they had already dispatched from heaven the grace for the place that we're in. It has been finally detailed and architected for the place that we're in. And so we thank the Lord for that. And we are learning a new lesson on dependence. You better trust him. That's all I got to say.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. You can do better than that. Bless the Lord. The Lord is good, and his mercies endures forever. Amen. Let's give our senior pastor, Sister Gordon and Lena, a hand clap of praise. It is good to see our pastor. It is good that he came among us. Due to the inclement weather yesterday, our outreach team did not visit homes. However, from January to present, over 2,000 homes were visited and 29 souls were saved. And what I'm going to say right now, following this, what I'm telling you right now is, I am so grateful that our pastor is here. You just don't know. I'm just full of joy. I feel like I'm getting ready to bust open, but I can't bust open because I wouldn't be here anymore. But let me just give you some information about our pastor, Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon. 38 years ago, our senior pastor answered the call to pastor St. Matthew's Baptist Church. And in doing so, he implemented a 15-year multi-phase plan that included several outreach initiatives and the construction of a state-of-the-art worship center. In 1994, phase one of Dr. Gordon's 15-year multi-phase plan came to fruition. It was a 2,000-seat sanctuary in which we're sitting right now on 8.5 acres of property, in which we can park our cars and additional parking across the street, and you don't have to worry about running out there feeding a parking meter. The original church was, and our parking lots are patrolled by Williamstown Police, and they're even inside. In 1997, phase two of Dr. Gordon's plan was implemented. It was the completion of our Family Life Center, affectionately named the John C. Bethea Family Life Center in the year 2000. It facilitates, houses a full-court gym, game room, fully equipped commercial kitchen, snack shop, and an education wing which includes 14 classrooms. I didn't finish. In 2004, phase three of Dr. Gordon's plan was implemented, a 45,000-square-foot community development center, which was developed on a lot adjacent to St. Matthew's Church. The community center houses 22 meeting rooms and a large banquet room with a stage and seating space for 1,145 people. In 2006, phase four of Dr. Gordon's plan was implemented, a 32,000 square foot recreation center, housing a state-of-the-art fitness center, tennis court, pickleball courts, and an aquatic center that features a junior Olympic-sized pool. The recreation center offers diversified programs that encourage health and wellness in the residents of the surrounding communities as well as our godly members. In addition to Dr. Gordon's 15-year multi-phase plan being implemented, in 2019, Dr. Gordon opened a daycare center and named it Superior Start Christian Learning Center. The facility provides a high-quality, age-appropriate early childhood education, and we believe every child deserves a superior start.
That's right.
And currently, it's over 90% of its capacity. That is well ahead of its estimated occupancy. And Dr. Gordon, with orders and help from the headquarters command, Lord Jesus Christ, has brought St. Matthew's Baptist Church a mighty long way. Let the truth be told. The Holy Spirit has anointed and appointed Pastor Gordon to bring us a long way. Through tall snares and danger, Satan has used all kind of tricks to hinder this commander called Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon Sr. But God, he provided a shield, he provided a shelter, he provided a sacrifice for our commander. Let us bless our pastor with a victory hand clap. Stand on your feet and bless this man of God. Come on, bless this man of God. He deserves every praise he has. The Lord has used them in a mighty, mighty way. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. I thank you. Let's give Pastor one more hand clap. I'm telling you, he's been busy. He hasn't been playing golf every other week. He hasn't been swimming, and even in his pool. He's been on the line talking to Jesus. Come on, let's give him another hand clap. By way of announcements, all classes will be canceled on next Sunday, May 12th, being Mother's Day, as well as canceled on fourth Sunday, May 26th, being Memorial Day weekend. Amen?
Amen.
Now we have screen announcements.
Good morning, St. Matthews. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's announcements are as follows.
Ladies, 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 we have exciting news. The Women's Breakfast is back. Join us Saturday, May 18th, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Registration is required. Register in the main lobby, through our Facebook page, or call the church, extension 2278. We hope to see all of you there.
We need your help. Join us for our Outreach Mother's Day Car Wash event on Saturday, May 11th, from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. We will offer free car washes to local community members and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. What better gift than the gift of salvation? If you are interested in volunteering, please sign up today at the Ministry Information Desk in the main lobby. We hope to see you there.
This concludes today's general announcements.
Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Just to reiterate, there are no classes on second and fourth Sunday of this month. Amen. Do we have any visitors this morning? If so, please raise your hand so the ushers can give you a card. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for our visitors. We certainly do welcome you. If you don't have a church home, we invite you during our call to join St. Matthew's. Cannot be a better church in the nation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for our visitors. And now it is offering time. And God loves a cheerful giver. You cannot beat God giving no matter how hard you try. This morning we'll be just taking up tithe. The tithe is a tenth. If you make $1,000 a week, God gets the first $100. If you make $500 a week, God gets the first $50. If you make $100 a week, God gets the first 10. Amen? And Paul said, giving involves more than financial contributions. We must first commit ourselves to the Lord and to the church at large. Give as the Lord has blessed you. Amen?
Savior Jesus Christ, and we come to give him praise today. Hallelujah. There's none like you, Lord. Oh, oh, oh.
Amen. How excellent is thy name. Let us stand. All thanks. May be seated. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our senior pastor has set the spiritual table once again with the theme of teaching today called Final Orders from Headquarters. An example of this is when Jesus Christ ordered the disciples in Matthew's chapter 28 to 20, the Great Commission was read earlier during invocation. St. Matthew's is our headquarters. When it comes to our church operations, Dr. Gordon has been appointed and anointed our commander at St. Matthew's Baptist Church. Our preachers of the hour, in the order I call their names, after a short song from our illustrious choir, are tasked by our commander, Dr. Gordon, to teach on the final orders from headquarters. The first minister will be Minister Arnold. He has 10 minutes. Second minister is Minister Cleve Folt. He has 10 minutes. The third minister is Reverend Walker. He has 10 minutes. The fourth minister is Reverend Dan Spencer. He has 10 minutes. And the fifth speaker is our keynote speaker, Minister Brown. He has 20 minutes. Amen. And now we will have a short song from our choir.
Hallelujah. Isn't it a blessing to see Pastor Gordon back in the house? Come on, make some noise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Real quick, we just changed a lot of songs because he's here today, and that's all right. I'm just going to pull out a bunch of these songs. This song says, I am grateful for the things that you have done. Anybody grateful today? Hallelujah. Sound good about your words because I'm grateful.
Because I'm grateful, grateful,
yeah.
Grateful, just to
say, God's a friend. Come on, let's say that one more time. Go out and say, I am grateful
for the things that you have done.
Say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, stand to your feet and just offer God this worship. Come on, lift your hands and give God some praise.
Already had church. You excuse me for my tears, but I am overjoyed. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, and I am not ashamed of the tears that I'm crying for my pastor. We love him. Oh, we love him. I'm not ashamed. Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving a poor, wretched sinner like me. And like I say, I don't know why he saved me, but I'm oh so glad he did. I feel embarrassed to have my back to my pastor. It's almost a dishonor to him to have my back to him. But he understands. I'd like to say this about our powerful preacher, teacher, pastor, and evangelist, Dr. Raymond Maurice Gordon. There is only one Pastor Gordon. He is the real McCoy. What you see is what you get. And he's not a wimp or a pimp. He's a pastor who preaches the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. He's been doing it now for 38 years at St. Matthew's here, preaching the gospel evangelistic style. 38 years. We pray for his full recovery. We pray for his wife and his family. Thank you, Pastor Gordon. Thank you, my brother. Excuse these tears. This morning, we will be looking at Jesus' final orders to his disciples, found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And if there's one thing the Marine Corps taught me, it is that orders come from above, not from below. And it is so in the church. It's the same way. Jesus is the commander-in-chief. Pastor Gordon is under Jesus' authority, and we are under Pastor Gordon's leadership and authority. Pastor gets his orders from Christ Jesus, not in visions or dreams, but through scripture and conviction. Then he passes what God has laid on his heart down to us. We are Christ's ambassadors here on earth. And the message is, Jesus saves. That is the message. In the Marine Corps, we obeyed orders because we knew to disobey orders would bring repercussions or severely reprimanded or court-martialed even. But in God's service, we obey God's commands because of a love that we have for God, for what he has done for us with redemption plan of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus' final orders, also known as the Great Commission, are, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Matthew 28:19 starts off with, "Go ye therefore." Jesus does not tell the world to come to church. Jesus tells the church to go out into the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's why Marine Deacon Pete Jarvis heads up the outreach team to go out into a lost and dying community. Church, your world is where you live, work, shop, even your family. And your world is different from my world. I may never meet your world, and you may never meet my world. So evangelize in your world where you are planted. Next, please note that the baptizing is done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It does not say in the names plural of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The word name tells us there is one God.
That's right.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is the true God, and it's not a plurality. It is a plurality within the Godhead, even though the word Trinity is not used in the Bible. So we baptize in that name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The church's mission is to evangelize a dark and dying world. The church is a life-saving station. But sadly, the church has become wrapped up in theatrics, feelings, signs, and wonders. Take Smiling Joel down here in Texas, for example, where it is come to church as you are and leave the same way attitude. No mention of sin, hell, or repentance in his megachurch. It's God loves you just as you are. So why do you need to change if God loves you just as you are? Joel is a motivational speaker at best. The world doesn't read the Bible very much, but it does read the lives of professing Christians. Remember that. At Matthew 28, 16 and 17, it says this, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him." Don't miss this. "But some doubted." These doubters were followers of Jesus Christ. They were not part of the inner circle. Even the 11 disciples doubted that Jesus would be raised from the dead, with Thomas being the one who doubted the most. We call him Doubting Thomas. He would not believe unless he should see the prints of the nails in his hands and thrust his hands into his side. Someone here this morning may have doubts about Jesus and all that has been written about him in the scriptures. Well, you are in good company, because not all the people believed in Jesus after seeing the risen Savior. These were followers who no doubt had heard of the many miracles that Jesus had done before his resurrection, but some doubted. If that is you here this morning with doubts and fears, please be aware that we are here to alleviate your doubts and fears with just the Word of God, because that's all that is needed. Let me leave you with this final thought. Without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Let me say that again. Without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. And without salvation, there is only an eternity in hell awaiting for you. Amen?
giving honor to our resurrected Savior. He's alive and doing well, and we are so overjoyed to see our pastor this morning. I'm blown away. I'm discombobulated, but I am overjoyed to see the man of God in his house, in the house of God. Pastor Gordon's here! Woo! Yeah. So I'm going to try to get through this while I try to contain my joy that is, my heart is bursting. It is a privilege to be here. When Moses sent Joshua out to battle the Amalekites, as long as Moses' hands were held up, the army, they were prevailing. Moses' arm, from holding up so long, were tired. Not that Moses lost strength, the arms. So Aaron lifted his arms up, and as he lifted his arms up, they prevailed. They continued to win. So all we're doing, church, this morning is continuing to hold up our pastor's arm. And as we hold up his arms, we will continue to prevail, because Jesus is the cornerstone. Pastor's lined up with Jesus. We're lined up with Pastor. So we will prevail as we hold up his arms in the name of that name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. I'm happy to see my pastor. Amen. Pastor, I'm just, man. I'm happy to see my pastor. Amen. The instructions, final orders from the headquarters. We're in Matthew 28. And I want you to know this, that the United States Department of Defense is housed in the Pentagon. It's the headquarters of the military forces. The Department of Defense commands its military and calls them into action whenever and however it deems fit. There is, listen, a call to action, watch this now, and a promise in response. Jesus in Galilee is in the headquarters. Galilee's is his headquarters, and we find him engaging his disciples in a final command and call to action. Galilee is important because it is a centralized headquarters of his operations. It's strategic. There were several Roman worlds that converged in Galilee. So all walks of life came in and throughout Galilee. So it was the base of majority of Jesus' ministry movements. And Jesus in Galilee is the headquarters. And so it is that the church is also the headquarters for Jesus' mission on earth. Listen. Now, there are three things that we're going to get to. But first thing I want to look at is this, is that Jesus has all authority. The Bible says in verse 18, that he said that all authority had been given to him, watch this now, in heaven and on earth. First of all, he's known as the Son of Man, according to Daniel chapter 7. It says he came to the Ancient of Days, and to him was given dominion, glory, and power over all the kingdoms. That was prophesied power. But now in Revelation, we have a testified power, because it says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory, and every knee bowed before him. All the things that were in heaven, on earth, and such that were in the sea, giving blessing, honor, and glory to the Lamb's throne, both now and forever. So Jesus has authority in heaven and authority on earth. And he rules it. Satan may be a ruler in the earth, but Jesus is ruler of the earth. There's nothing out of his care, custody, or control. Now, when you have this kind of power, it's in his nature to rule, and it's in our nature to respond. And so there are three parameters from headquarters that has been given to our commanding officer, General Gordon, right, that I'm going to teach about today. Watch this now. There are three things. There is a purpose, a process, and a product. Listen, the purpose is his reason, the process is his refining, and the product is the results.
He says, go ye therefore in verse 19. That's a directive. It's an order. Now, he has an authoritative power, watch this, to command. His position is to command. Our position is to obey. So he gives the disciples a command. But now watch, we come in also 19, we have his purpose. Now, this is his reason for his objective. His reason is here. It says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. You can only make a disciple once they know Jesus. So his intent is, watch this now, salvation. For John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18 says, God loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believeth in him would not perish. So God did not send his son to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So his purpose is, watch this, is salvation. We see that. That's the reason for his objective. But also there is a process. Whenever you realize God's process is a refinement, there are refining operations. It's baptize them and teach them. All right? He wants to baptize them and teach them. And so what the Bible says in John 8, 31 to 32, it says that Jesus said to those that believed on him that if you continue in his words, then you are my disciples indeed, right? And then you shall know the truth, and that truth will make you free. All right, so we baptize after belief, and then we continue to teach. All right, so it's a continuing order of religious education. There's a core value here that's in operation. And so we see his purpose, that's his reason for his objective. We see his process, that's the refining operations. And then we see his product. All right, his product's in verse 20. And his product says this. He says he wants you to observe all things that I have commanded you. That'll remind you of what happened in Cana when Mary said, listen, whatever he says to do, then just do it. First of all, the purpose is that we secure salvation. The process is a refining process, right? So we continue to be baptized in his name one time, and then we go ahead and then we continue to learn of him. And then after that, we learn to follow his commands. We learn to follow the commands of Jesus. And many times when we are out of sorts and we're discombobulated, it's because we're not following the commands of Jesus. There's safety in the commands of Jesus. There's structure in the commands of Jesus. There's salvation in the commands of Jesus. There is sanctification in the commands of Jesus. Who else has all power? Who else commands the heavens? Who else rules the earth? Who else rules the things under the earth? There's no one but our resurrected Savior, Jesus, who is our commander in chief, and we are his disciples. We follow his orders. All right. Jesus is the headquarters giving a call to action. Now, whenever there's a call to action, there's a promise in response. He says in verse 20, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. So Jesus is always with us, all right? And then he says, amen. When you see amen, that means let it be so. That's his determination. Now listen, we can only see from the trenches, but Jesus sees everything from headquarters, and he has determined your processes in life. He determined the processes for your life and through your life and the product from your life. He's the commander in chief. And headquarters. Listen, here it is. You need to understand that in your life, God is continually at work. Here he is. Watch this now. He's working his purposes in you, through you, and to you. Just as he's determined the direction and the directives of the disciples, Jesus is commanding you and infusing you with divinely designated processes that are designed to lovingly, continually train you, to test you, to transform you, to perfectly conform you to be in the image of his son. And he's providentially involved in all of this. God is not, he's not an absentee father, nor is he an unfit mother. God is with you at all times. So you need to understand that at any given time, God is working his purposes in your life. And he's going to work processes in your life because there's a product in your life, and that is that you might be like his beloved son, that you may enjoy him forever. So let's get it right here so we can enjoy him there. Bless the name of Jesus. And one last thing before I got my 15 seconds, that is this. One of the main ways that we can understand and see the process of God, where we can see the purpose of God and the product of God, is through the man of God. Thank you, Pastor Gordon. Thank you, Jesus.
Give your honor to my Lord and Savior and to my pastor. I'm just discombobulated right now. You know, I'm trying to get it together. I don't forgot what I'm going to talk about.
Love you, Pastor.
Here we go. If you give me the honor to teach you about the final orders from Galilee, the headquarters. In 1941, December the 7th, 1941, America suffered a great defeat. Japan came and bombed Pearl Harbor, killing thousands of people. Thousands died. And the President of the United States called for war. The generals from the Navy all got together. They called all their men, come. And every man stand. And he called for volunteers. He said, I need volunteers to go to Japan. You might lose your life. You might die. You might be taken captured. You might be tortured. Is there any volunteers? And every man who heard the final orders, they stepped up. No man stepped back. Everybody stepped up because they was angry. They were frustrated. And they had a passion to avenge their country. It's right here in a similar sense to Jesus, the risen Savior, our Savior, who risen from the grave, had a final orders before he take his cloud up to heaven. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you. He's with you. So they had that order, and every disciple took that order. And there's four things I want you to see that you must understand and take in your orders. So when you leave here today and you go out, you have orders of clarity. Orders that will get you passionate and ready to serve the Lord. The first thing is this that you must understand is, guess what? A calling. But then second from a calling is a conflict. But the third thing is a condemn. Then the fourth thing is a consequences. So what is this? What is it that you understand a calling? There's a general calling and a specific calling. A general calling go to everybody, but possess no power. A specific, particular calling goes to the elect, to the chosen, and it comes with power, it comes with conviction, and it comes with forgiveness. You see, so understand your calling. When you are called, understand who you are. In this calling, you understand there are four different characteristics. In the calling, but you can understand why. The first one is this: consider the cost. Once you go, the enemy gonna attack you. It could attack your family, it could attack your friends. Consider the cost. But second, understand this: it's a go. Go is an aorist tense. Anything that happened in the past that continuing now, an aorist tense from the Greek. It's also a present passive participle. A present passive participle is this. It's like, as you are going, present, as you are going, make disciples. Then it goes on to say it's passive. Why is it passive? Because you have to make a choice to do what God tells you to do. Go or stay home. You know what I'm saying? So guess what? He says that. Go. As you are going, make disciples. Then he said, guess what? The third characteristic is this, that you are ambassadors. You're sent by God. You have your orders from a higher power. You have your orders like we have our orders from our pastor. We got to move forward with this. So you got to move forward. But not only this, he said, another characteristic is this. Preach the word. But use little words. Not much words. Preach it by your life. You speak more power about how you live. You speak more power when they see you forgiving, when they see you loving, when they see you do what God called you to do. Use less word. So you understand the calling, but not only the calling, the conflict. What is the conflict? The conflict is this. It's in the world. You are in the enemy's territory. That means, guess what? The enemy is not going to sit there and let you preach the gospel, talk about Jesus, and think it's all right. No, he's going to deceive you. He's going to delay you. He's going to hit you. You got to understand, he's coming at your family, your friends, your wife, your husband. You can't let that delay you. You can't let that stop you. You got to preach. I say preach. Preach the word. So when the conflict comes, you know that God got your back, because it says also in that verse, lo, I am with you. God is with you. But not only the conflict, understand the condemn. What is the condemn? The Gedim is this. In war, there's people dead all around you. They lay on the ground. They're dead. You see them war. Don't you worry about the dead on the ground. Worry about the dead walking around. No, no, why? Because there's people around. They're walking. They don't know about Jesus. They're already dead. The Bible says in John 3:17, those that believe is not, is already condemned. It could be your family. It could be your friends. It could be your children. You got to live the gospel. But not only do you deal with the audience, the condemn. The last point is this, the consequences. If you fail to follow the orders, what is the consequences? The Bible says in Revelation 20, the books are open. What are the books? One is the book of remembrance, Malachi 3:16. Another one is the book of the law, Joshua 1:8. Another one is the book of the book of life. The book of life. But another one is the book of the Lamb. The book of the Lamb, book of life. Which book will your family or friends be in? Which would he be in? A long time ago, I was watching this TV show. I've been watching this TV show. It's called Tales from the Crypt. So, as I've been watching Tales from the Crypt, there were these three young guys. They waited to our funeral home. As they went to the funeral home, they were sitting right there. They didn't pay the undertaker no sting. They sit there, put a gun on the undertaker. And the undertaker said, all right, yeah, ooh, ooh, ooh. I said, what is wrong with this man? He didn't have no fear or nothing. And then he showed them three coffins. When he showed the three young men three coffins, when he opened the coffin, everybody in the carpet represented that person. I said, oh, my God, that's me. That's me. They said, what's going on? And the undertaker turned into the devil. Welcome to hell. Let me tell you something. When you know about hell, you can't help but preach the gospel. When you know what's hell like, you can't let your friends and all them go to hell. No, you got to stand up and preach the word. You got to stand up and live the word. You know why? Because it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm saved.
Here we go again. Lord, we thank you for this time. Give me wisdom, Lord, as I preach your word. I thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for Pastor. Thank you for Pastor. Thank you for Pastor and Sister Gordon. And Lord, I pray that someone would be convicted and they would come to you. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Yeah, Pastor, you messed us up today. You messed it up today. Oh, my goodness. All right. Giving honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has conformed me to his image, and sometimes voluntary, sometimes involuntary, and sometimes not so much. But he is still working in me. Amen. To Pastor, thank you so much for your teaching, your training, your mentoring, and all these years. And now it's time for us to step up to the plate. Amen. And these guys have stepped up to the plate. Let's give them a hand. Amen. And to my wife, who I've been married to for 7,775 days today, thank you. I didn't say years. We're going to jump right into it. Matthew 28:19 is where I want to focus. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The English Standard reads this, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The part I want to focus on is making disciples. As stated earlier, Jesus was in Galilee. He invited them to Galilee, and it wasn't just the 11. They think it was more than just the 11. And he gave them their final instructions, their marching orders,
to the disciples. Galilee is located in northern Israel, a place that would have been the hometown of the disciples. And so he was well known, and everybody was known there, and he performed many miracles there, as previously stated. But in order to make disciples, you must first be a what? You got to be a disciple. You can't make them if you're not it. So what does it take to be a disciple? Glad you asked. The definition of a disciple is this: is someone who becomes like his or her master by living in a servant relationship to him. They learn from and submit to that person's example. In simpler terms, it means that you're a learner, you're a pupil, you are a follower. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it reads this, that we have to examine ourselves to prove whether we're in the faith. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, which means disqualified. In order to become a disciple or discipler, we must be 3D or have 3Ds in place. We must be devoted to his word, dedicated to Christ, and willing to duplicate Christ in others. We must be devoted to his word. By his word, we get to know him. You cannot know that. So Romans 10:17 says this: so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. You guys read your Bibles. You cannot know the truth without knowing the truth of his word. In this modern culture, everybody has their own truth. Oh, this is my truth. Oh, this is what I believe. Well, this is what Proverbs 21:2 says about that. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. John 17:17 says this: sanctify, or set them apart, through truth. Thy word is truth. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Big if. So we have to be devoted to his word, but dedicated to Christ. Understanding, obeying his faith, word by faith means that you belong to him and will experience more of him because he lives in us through the Holy Spirit. In John 14, it says this: Jesus answered and said unto them, if, big if, a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. He will come into him and make our abode with him. I was just talking about that to the youth this morning. When we talk, we don't use the word abide or abode, but it means to live with. I said you live with your phone. When you're separated from your phone, you get kind of nervous and everything because that phone is like your life center. Well, that's what we need. We need to have the word of God in us and not separated from us. Our love is demonstrated through our actions. 1 John 2:5 says this: but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Devoted to the word, dedicated to Christ, and then last but not least, willing to duplicate Christ in others. Ephesians 5, once we become disciples of Christ or imitators of Christ, then we become duplicators of Christ. First we're imitators, then we're duplicators. Ephesians 5, 1, 2 says this: but be ye therefore followers of Christ as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Yes. After we are taught, it is time then to put it into practice. 2 Timothy 2:1 says this: thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love to one another. As a drill sergeant and a trainer and a discipler of soldiers, I trained at Fort Moore, formerly Fort Benning, Georgia, located in Columbus, Georgia. There was a statue of an infantryman. In one hand, he had his weapon. In the other hand, he was pointing forward, leading into combat. He was gesturing toward the battle. And the inscription on the bottom of that statue says, follow me. Everybody say that, follow me.
Follow me.
Follow me. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says this, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Jesus said to many of his disciples those two words, follow me. Let me hear you say them. And he saith unto them, and I will make you fishers of men. But Jesus said unto him, and let the dead bury the dead. In Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and
follow me.
Matthew 19:21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell thou that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and And Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they, devoted to this word, dedicated to Christ, and willing to duplicate Christ in others. In closing, we love his word. And we are to duplicate. We ought to be duplicated. We ought to follow him in devotion to his word, follow me in dedication to Christ, and follow me in duplication of Christ and others. We should have someone in front of us, someone in back of us that is following us as we follow Christ. Next Saturday is your opportunity to do that process. We have a car wash here. And every Sunday, Brother Jarvis comes in and he says, we had this many souls. We visited this many houses. Well, next week is your opportunity to put it into motion and to put it into action. Amen.
He said, Pastor said, you better say something. Amen. I was like Reverend Spencer, him and I were conversing a little bit, and I was trying to refrain from the tears coming down when we seen Pastor. And I was like, Reverend Spencer, I don't think I'm going to be able to preach today. That when you have your spiritual father in the house, you know, you always want to make your dad proud.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. All right, for the essence of time, let's go ahead and get it. Let us pray. We come to you this morning, Heavenly Father, thanking you for giving us your son, Jesus, as the ultimate gift, who sacrificed his life for us. I pray that your words be spoken to your people and not that of my own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. First, giving honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to our pastor, and also to our first lady as well. They look marvelous. They look great. Amen. Amen. And then also to my fellow co-laborers behind me. I don't know if there's nothing else that needs to be said. That I really hate coming after them. And our pastor, if you could remember, they said the last shall be first. So can you? I'd like to go first next time. Also giving a shout out to my wife. I thank my wife as well. Looking all good in that yellow. Man. All right. Matthew's 28. We're talking about the final order from headquarters in Galilee. Jesus gives the Great Commission. And for the reading earlier, Matthew's 28. 18 to 20 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the age. Amen. Our judicial system defines a final order as such, a final decision made by a court or government agency that cannot be changed or appealed. It is the last step in a legal process and determines the outcome of a case. The Great Commission is outlined in Matthew 28, where on a mountain in Galilee, Jesus calls on his followers to make disciples of and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands his followers to preach the good news and make disciples. He wanted them to spread the message of forgiveness and salvation. But it's important to remember that Jesus' disciples were discouraged and filled with fear not too long ago. In John 20:19, we learned that many of the apostles were hiding after Jesus was crucified. However, after Jesus' crucifixion, he appeared to as many as over 500 people and spent 40 days with the disciples to not only prove he was alive, but to encourage them and strengthen them for the task ahead. Jesus could have immediately ascended to heaven after his resurrection, but because of the love he has for us, it caused him to stay just a little while longer here on earth so that we could receive his final orders from headquarters. Jesus' final orders, also known as the Great Commission, are full of actions. It says, go make disciples, go baptize, and go teach. He didn't tell his disciples to sit back and chill out. They weren't instructed to form any little powwow sessions and sing hymns until their Savior's return. Instead, Jesus commanded them to go make disciples or followers of him. The word disciple, which is mathetes in Greek, literally means pupil, but also follower, as in follower of Jesus Christ. How do we accomplish the Great Commission, and where are we called to go? The disciples actually got to follow Jesus physically, but when Jesus ascended to heaven after his resurrection, he was no longer with them in person. So how would they be able to follow Jesus if they could no longer talk with him, walk with him, and communicate with him? Like Matthew, Luke also records Jesus' last words in Acts 1, saying, we know these are Jesus' last words because it says after this that Jesus was taken up into heaven. Jesus said to his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about in verse 4, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth in verse 8. So what are the disciples to do? Wait in Jerusalem for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also told them during the last Passover supper that it would be better for him to go so that they could receive the Holy Spirit in John 16, verse 7, who would always be present with them and empower them as a witness for Jesus. The disciples would not work in their own strength to fulfill the Great Commission. God, in the form of his Spirit, would live in and empower them to accomplish this task. Where are we called to go? Jesus called the disciples to witness to those in Jerusalem first, which was their current location. Then he called them to go to Judea, which was the region around them. Jesus also instructed them to go to Samaria, where they were not welcomed. Historically, tension and hatred had existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. Finally, he charged them to go into every place on earth. We could look at Jesus' command to disciples in this way. He calls us to reach the people in our current domain of influence or our family and our close friends. He charges us to share the gospel with our neighbors and the people in our local communities. He commissions us to reach not only the country we live in, but also to reach all nations of the world. Hence, we are called to share the gospel with those people that are most close to us in location and relationship, as well as those people in unknown and unreached areas with foreign languages and cultures, just as Jesus did in chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. where they had a conversation, where Jesus had a conversation with the Samaritan woman, and it was so detailed that he told her about her life. And she was so overwhelmed, the scripture says she left her pot of water, that she was so excited to go back, and she said that she went and told others, she said that you must come meet a man. You must come hear a man that told me all about myself, that he surely must be the Christ. And here in John chapter 9, we have the blind man, where he was interrogated. And upon the second time he was interrogated, he says, whether I be a sinner or not, I don't know but one thing, but I do know this, that I was blind, but now I see. Maybe the most undesirable or dangerous people for you to share the gospel with are your own family and friends. They may appear to be the hardest, furthest people from God. Yet Jesus' heart of pursuit goes after the prodigals and those who are least likely to hear the good news. Typically, when someone that is leaving us for a long period of time, his or her last words are very important. Jesus left the disciples with his final orders of instructions. They were under his authority. They were to make more disciples. They were to baptize and teach these new disciples to obey Christ. Christ would be with them always. Whereas in previous missions, Jesus had sent his disciples only to the Jews in Matthew's chapter 10. Their mission from now on would be worldwide. Jesus is Lord of the earth, and he died for the sins of people from all nations. Where are we to go? Whether it is next door or to another country and make disciples, it is not an option but a command to all who call Jesus Lord. We are not all evangelists in the formal sense, but we all have received gifts that we can use to help fulfill the Great Commission. As we obey, we have comfort in the knowledge that Jesus is always with us. You may ask, how is Jesus with us? Because he says in Matthew 28:20, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus was with his disciples physically until he ascended into heaven, and then spiritually through the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. The Holy Spirit would be Jesus' presence that would never leave them, and Jesus continues to be with us today through his Spirit. So whatever challenges we may face, we never face them alone. Jesus gives us the promise, I am with you always. Final orders from headquarters. It tells us that his disciples received their instructions and were sent on their way. And during their journey in spreading the good news, the apostles were tortured, killed. Not that they preached about the mere religion. They had thousands of gods and religions in their day. They were martyred because they dared to say that Jesus Christ was the only way a person could come to God. Nothing has changed today, saints, as far as the good news. People may not like it, they may disagree with it, or even reject it. But no one can deny that Jesus Christ demands exclusive loyalty to himself, and that the Bible teaches that a person cannot be saved from hell by any other person or religion. People still hate this ideal and anyone who preaches it today. This is a hard ideal to accept, especially in the USA, where we pride ourselves on being tolerant of every religion and point of view. We must remember, however, that salvation is not based on democracy, but on the blood that Jesus shed on the cross and his resurrection. This makes him the final mediator and arbitrator in matters of religion, especially on the question of personal salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. As I close, What I have always admired about Pastor, he has the heart and desire to live out the Great Commission here at St. Matthew's. He oversees the outreach ministries. Deacon Jarvis leads the outreach ministries on Saturdays. Reverend Spencer leads the prison ministry. Before COVID, we had the bus ministry and the shelters that we used to go out to. Many of you may remember. And as I would always ask at the shelters, I would say, do you remember when your change took place in your life after meeting Jesus Christ? How would people look at you? Some of us were in some pretty down low places, and I was included as well. But thanks be to God, he's seen something in you and I that we didn't see in ourselves. He has forgiven us for all of our wrongdoings and past sins. But I've got my mind made up that I'm going to be a servant of the Lord. I've got my mind made up that I will be a doer and not a hearer only. I've got my mind made up that my hands will remain on the plow. I've got my mind made up that I will serve him until the day I die. Because when I begin to think of his goodness, when I begin to think of his mercy, when I begin to think of his grace, my soul looks back in wonder. How did I get over? I thank him for dying for my sins. I thank him for going to the cross. I thank him for battling it out with death. I thank him for raising on the third day with all power in his hands. I thank him for the joy when I didn't have any joy. I thank him for fixing my heart when it was broken. I thank him because it's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Jesus has given the final order from headquarters, Matthew 28. The question is, how will you respond?
Didn't they preach? Didn't they preach? Let me quickly bring all of you up to date on what's going on in this world. My 7 years in the military doing top secret work, I belonged to NORAD, ADC, Air Defense Command. And I'll never forget, our job, we were in Naples, Italy, 7th Fleet, and you had Navy, you had Marines, you had Air Force, and you had Army. Listen to this, millions of men that were in Naples strategically. And I'll never forget that my job on a radar site, 35 clicks out from Naples, was we monitored everything. We had, and our orders were that, thank you. Our orders were that we could take Moscow out in 30 minutes. 30 minutes. No more Moscow. We could take China out. We could take North Korea out. And our job was to keep our eyes on those powers. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And today, what people don't understand, we are living in a time that the United States, and I've always said this, we have the strongest shield in the world. Other countries can shoot their rockets and they can reach us, but they'll never get to us because we have interceptors that'll take them out before they can land. And one of the things that was happening over in Russia is that they were shooting down, Biden was shooting down stuff before they get hit. We have stealth B-1 bombers that cannot be detected by radar. We have stealth submarines, atomic submarines, that cannot be detected by sonar. We have a human shield right now that although another country can reach us, it'll never get to us. And what people fear is that the United States, stealth, the United States has the capability of taking everybody out, and when you shoot at us, it never reaches us. We have this human shield. So headquarters, Pentagon, Pentagon. And they have made up the purpose, the process, and the product. And as we are marching, we get to a place where we're all marching in unison, and someone on a platform will holler out, "Eyes right." And when we have our eyes right, we're showing deference to authority. Everywhere I go, people want to know, who are we? We are the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty. The United States of America has a system right now that no one else can detect us because stealth is all over us. And I'm telling you what I know. NORAD, ADC Air Defense Command, soldier, I saw something in 1969 at an Air Force base. I called the Pentagon on a flash message. I said, "Whom am I speaking to?" I said, "This is Airman First Class Sergeant Gordon." I said, sir, we saw something at our radar site. He said, we're on it. We got two fighter jets up as we speak. And he said, hang the phone up and don't discuss this with anybody. We have it. The United States is the greatest country in the world. And all the fighting going on is because of Abraham's sin. And there's a two-prong effect that God is going to use to answer it. That's all I'm going to say. That our nation has satellites in outer space that would totally take out anything aimed at us. What a nation. And I'm so proud of the capabilities that we have. So when North Korea says, oh, we have a missile that can reach New York City, it'll never make it. It'll never make it. The Lord has given us unique capability. And I'm so glad that I serve a God that has already completed everything. Headquarters. Everybody. Mary and Joseph, I want you to go up and pay your taxes, turtle doves and pigeons. And when Joseph did that, God allowed Joseph to become afraid, and God detoured him. Won't God detour you? I was listening to David Jeremiah last Sunday, and he said, I did a lot of dirt overseas. I did a lot of dirt. And he said, the fact that you did a lot of dirt only means that Jesus, 2,000 years ago, had already made a provision for the dirt. Can I get a witness? And the purpose of that dirt is not for you to feel sorry for yourself. It's for you to know that God made an offering so that you could wake up and know that in spite of all your dirt, all the things you did, all the places you went, all the illicit sex you had, when you was even unprotected, God had already determined 2,000 years ago that he had already given you everything you needed to be in him. Can I get a witness? And God stepped me through everything I did overseas, in the United States, in clubs and bars, and even after I got saved. And here's what God said. Thank me for forgiving you 2,000 years ago. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, joy, joy will come. Will come in the morning. Hang in there. Nobody's getting away with anything. The Lord sent order from headquarters. Can I get a witness? Raymond Maurice Gordon, I didn't save you to live to yourself. I saved you to invest in others. Can I get a witness? I saved you to keep your eyes on the prize. I saved you to be still and to know that I'm God. Praise his name. Now, let me say this before you started losing it. Pastor's not fully back. So don't come in here waiting for me to preach next week. We got some powerful preachers next week. A mother's love, a mother's liberty, a mother's light, a mother's legacy, a mother's liberation. We got some great mothers coming up. Can I get a witness? And they gonna lay it out. Amen. They gonna lay it out. And I love them all. And praise the name of Jesus. I want everybody here in this place, as the mothers take control. Tanya will be my worship leader. Let's give Tanya a hand clap. She's awesome. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to thank all the ladies that will speak. We love you. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. So don't worry about anything, but in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then these guys preach. Then they preach. Then they preach. Praise his name. All right. Well, here I go. The Lord is good. Praise his name.
As our pastor's leaving at this time, I want to ask, is there anyone in the congregation that does not know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior? I want to ask anyone that does not know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. Is there one? All you have to do is admit, believe, and confess. First of all, admit that you're a sinner. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the grave and the Bible say you are saved. Is there one? Is there one? Amen. Let us stand. Let's look to the Lord. May the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, continue to be with your spirit. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving. Let all of God's children say amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Do not rush our pastor. Come on down and greet these men of God that preach their hearts out. Amen. Take it out.
I love SMBC because I've been a member here for over 20 years, and Pastor brings a word every Sunday.
Ministry here is for the entire being. I love the way it touches the mind, the body, and the soul. We have women's ministries.
Welcome to our world.
I've gone to several churches before, and the truth that Pastor preaches about the word, his leadership and his vision is just pure.
Welcome to our world.
What keeps me coming back to St. Matthew's is the youth program. They continuously put effort into the young mentors.
Welcome to our world.
Bienvenidos a nuestro mundo.